Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah, let me give you a quick correction here. We'll go to the actual episode itself. For whatever reason, I misspoke twice. And when I said in this episode that the Jayhawks would make it out of the first round, while at other times I indicated that's not what I meant, because I said they may well even lose to California Baptist as a even further qualifier, I nonetheless kept saying first round instead of first weekend when I intended they're not making it out of the first weekend. So, pardon, wouldn't be the 32nd time I've misspoke slightly or aggressively in the last week of my life. So, other than that, it holds, and in fact, now the prediction has come true. Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Scales of Truth, a sports rant of truth. I know it's been a little while since I've done one of these, but so I live in the Midwest, and my closest local team as far as major college would be University of Kansas. And maybe some of you know the KU struggle this year. Bill Self's teams had this incredible 16-17 year run, something like that, where they shared or won the Big 12 title through all of its, you know, various members and everything, with some strong schools in there, Texas and the like, Oklahoma, you know, Texas, even when they had Durant, all that. And now the last 3 years, they've just been awful. Like, it used to be that you'd be lucky to get a victory in Allen Fieldhouse. Now everybody gets a victory in Allen Fieldhouse. It's like Oprah Winfrey. A mediocre team like UCF can go hand Kansas its ass in Orlando and then get its ass handed to them in the first round of the tournament. So one of the reasons I'm saying doing this is to try to get it in before the game. KU's not making out of the first round. So sometimes you don't... what I do is I'm lazy, so I try to look for the smallest indicators of things. And you can... If the smallest indicator, if certain indicators are a big enough and drastic enough difference from the way they should be, if another conclusion could be made, then you don't need to read a lot of other indicators. And by every single token, Darren Peterson, the quote star freshman, just does not add to this team. They could very well lose here in the first round against, can't even think of the name of the team, but they could lose here. But they're not making it out of the first round. And I've been wrong before. They could go on this super run, but there's no chance they make it to the Elite Eight or the Final Four of the championship. Because Darren Peterson, I got some interesting stats for you, but they really just back up the idea that when he plays for a while, he's totally inefficient and he's not a superstar. There are 10 other freshmen that have had a more productive and more productive years that would go into the NBA based on a better college resume, let alone all the other people that would go into the NBA draft. And he was coming in as a potential number one draft pick. Remember, he had all these these cramp issues where they're like, well, what cramp? I know he hurt his hamstring, but what cramp? Recently, he talked to, I don't know, the Kansas City Star or something, said, I had whole body cramps. It's like, what? What? But now, even though he has played a lot more lately, he just has been entirely inefficient when he plays. He's not even really hardly but an above-average player when he plays, and for the most part, incredibly inefficient. So this team actually played, as if you guys watch some big-time college basketball or hear about it, you might know, better without him. And when they play without him, some of the main pieces, like Melvin Council Jr. and Fleury Badunga, play better without him. So with him, finally in about 9 games or so, he hasn't needed to be taken out because of these weird cramp issues or endurance issues, whatever it is, this mysterious thing that's been going on, which to me says he's got a major health problem. Whatever resulted in, quote, a whole body cramping, and then an 18-year-old can't handle 40 minutes of basketball and really can't handle 25. But even now, the lingering effects are if he plays 32, they're a very inefficient 32 and very low field goal percentage. If he plays 20, he's better than if he plays 32 by far. But in any regard, it almost never helps them towards wins. They're, I believe, 5-5 in the last 10 games. That's not a four seed. And they could very well lose to California Baptist. They're just not a good team. So let me see here if I can find a couple things that emphasize that here. Yeah, so, and the other thing about the Jayhawks is that I did find something, but this is another train of thought. You look at their record and you find massive blowouts, and a four seed or national championship contender, you can have one of those, but you can't have many, and you can't have big losses to mediocre teams. So they definitely look at, I don't know, there's something called wins above bubble or something like that. And it's a predictive measure, so I don't understand that. But they tend to look at strength of schedule and then your overall record and good wins. But they don't take into account enough, I believe, bad losses. And bad losses are, yeah, you can and should lose to a number one seed like in Arizona. And you might get trounced. You might get trounced by Iowa State. And you might get trounced by Houston. But if you get trounced by all three, then you're not a number four seed anymore. And especially if you mix in there that most of those trounces were later in the year and in the 5-5 stretch, and that you had bad losses against mediocre teams. And the only real blowout you had is against maybe the conference's worst team in the last 11-10 games. And that's Kansas State, and that was a home game. And even that was only like a 21-point game or something like that, which is fine. I mean, maybe they sat people. But this is where I say you just got to look at box scores and see the type of minutes played and the efficiency and the total output and just compare and go, okay, this guy's not an efficient player. And when he's on, the team does not end up with better results. So KU cannot and will not go on a run. They may very well lose tonight. They've lost easily to some not good teams, including Arizona State, which is not a good team this year, and then also who am I thinking of? Well, again, they lost at UCF, totally mediocre team, when that was a time of year they should be gearing up for the stretch run. So anyway, let's see here. Against Houston, 69-47 loss in the Big 12 tournament, during which the Jayhawks missed 17 straight shots. They've lost 5 of 9, and all 9 include Peterson in the starting lineup. The final 7 included him finishing the fight, and the Jayhawks are only 3-4 in those 7. Now, again, you can say strength of schedule. You look in some measurements, and supposedly Kansas has the strongest strength of schedule, and that would be fine, except that they've lost 10, and multiple of those losses are either to mediocre teams or getting trounced by that strength of schedule. So they're really like a 6 or a 7 seed. They're not a 4 seed. Let's see here. Above water, again, without Peterson, they beat Arizona. And then with Peterson, they got their asses handed to them against Arizona. Now, what was also in the favor was one was in Allen and one was not in Allen. One was in Arizona. Nonetheless, though, when you get your ass handed to you with your supposed freshman, that's the guy, that's the next Kevin Durant, which is a laughable comment at this point, then that tells you something. And so, as I was saying, the big thing is that just that they have not figured out how to integrate him. For a second, the ghost of tournament's future were dancing in their heads. If we can beat Arizona, just think once we can integrate Peterson. But they can't integrate Peterson. Peterson is 41 of 113 in his last 7 games. Again, just look at the box score. Like, a guy needs to be hitting 40% Or and what and a couple games where he scored a little bit more, it was from the free throw line. 41 of 113, 36.2% in his last seven games. Flory Badunga, which is the guy who has a chance to be like a defensive player of the year type candidate, but with Peterson, he does not play as well. It's the 10th time this season when he scored 5 points in nearly 32 minutes when they played Houston, where he's been held to 10 points or fewer. And nine of those have come when Peterson has played. Melvin, this is a guy who had like eight blocks, or not eight, five or six blocks against, I think it was Arizona State at home, but no, I think it's Utah State. Melvin Council Jr., who Allen Fieldhouse loves, scores 3 points less per game with Peterson. But the thing is, it's not even the points, it's the aggression. He doesn't go and get it when Peterson's on the floor. And that's some of the difference. Another thing I'll say is that here locally, I have a chance to watch Division II basketball. And because it's in this closer region with KU, there's some influence from Self, and they do this weave. And I can't remember, I went to a KU basketball game this year. But locally, I saw this team that was supposedly a very good team, had lost once all year, goes to Division II, loses in the first round at a home regional. So in Division II, eight teams have to play at the eight different regions, number one seed. And they lost, and I said to myself, these guys don't get the ball down low. And I remember looking at the KU game against, I think it was Utah State or something like that. And I'm just like, this offense seems very basic. I don't see them doing proper and good picks. Like, just do a very deliberate pick with your big man to get your potential all pro, all Hall of Fame guard, 15 years from now, the ball free. And they don't. They just let him dribble. They don't do basic and proper good screens, good picks, let alone good pick and rolls. And what Bill Self does is this weave, which is pretty famous. And obviously Bill Self's a good coach, but if this weave is not done right, this is where the one guard kind of goes to the left while the other guard's coming to the right, up way up by the perimeter, and they kind of trade the ball back and forth. And I guess the idea is something like with all that movement, it almost becomes like a moving pick. But if you then don't dive once you get somebody out of position from all this movement back and forth and get into the middle of the middle of the lane, into the middle of the defense so that you can kick out or feed the post, then you're hanging out on the perimeter too often and once in a while just relying on one-on-one drives. So I'm not saying the weave can't work. Obviously, Bill Self has used it to a lot of success, but if it's not coached right, it ain't good. And our local team that only lost one, they did not feed the post. I watched like 10 games this year, seven anyway, in person. And I just, when another team from another region, what I mean is not this exact area, but they qualified for the region in the NCAA Division II, came in multiple teams, and especially two from one conference, didn't do this weave. And I noticed immediately the guys down low work the ball, bounce, bounce, work it left, work it right, do a spin move. They have composure with the ball, and they get fed by the guards. And they find ways to get the guards into the teeth of the defense. And I don't know for sure if that's part of the issue with KU, but I'll tell you that weave pattern, if you don't spice it up with some pick and rolls or have it working to all of its design efficiency, it can be a shit offense. So I just don't see KU going anywhere. Again, the point differential is just too much with. In their losses, they're not close losses. They're bad losses when they're 5-5. Let me pull this up really quick. I'll try to get this posted beforehand so it doesn't look like I just saw the very first parts of the game and then guess this. But let me pull up KU's losses here recently, if I can do this without taking too terribly long. All right, here we go. KU starting here and, well, should be starting here soon. They're favored by 13.5 against California Baptists. And so let me look up KU. Here are the losses, and what I mean, it's not that you lose, although there is that, is that, again, you got your ass handed to you. Houston, you lose by 21. TCU, which is average in the conference, you beat, but barely, just by 5. Kansas State, the worst or second team in the worst team in the league. Yeah, you win by only 19, but at home. Against Arizona State, a team that's not even in the tourney, you lose by 10. Granted, at Arizona State, but a real team that's going to take a 4 seed all the way to the Sweet 16 and then potentially go above that simply does not lose that type of game late in the season as they're tuning up. At Arizona, February 28th, they lost by 23 points. Again, these last 7 games is with Peterson all available. And so then you go to Houston. They did win at Houston back on February 23rd. At home versus Houston. So that's the Allen Fieldhouse, home cooking. And that's about the only really big win with Peterson in the lineup once he was playing whole games. Because before that, they lost versus Cincinnati at home. You don't lose versus Cincinnati at home by 16 on February 21st of a year that you then make it to the Sweet 16 unless it's the lone, just who the hell knows what happened there. We just couldn't do anything. Prior to that, it was a win at Oklahoma State, which is not a good team, and they did win by 12. But see, these are not 25-point wins in these wins against mediocre teams. Now, granted, their record toward the end in their wins and losses was towards some of the stronger teams, but again, you're just not seeing the type of dominance that even a 4 should show. Iowa State, they lost by 18 at Iowa State. And then their last good victory, really good victory. I shouldn't say that. Again, they beat Houston, so it's kind of equal, was February 9th. You got the Arizona win, 82-78. So really, when Darren Peterson wasn't playing much, they beat Iowa State, they beat Baylor, they beat Colorado, they beat Kansas State, they beat BYU, they beat Texas Tech, they beat Utah, and they beat Arizona when Peterson wasn't playing much or at all. And then after that, they lose to Iowa State. And I'm not saying he played a lot with Iowa State, but again, those 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, that's a Cincinnati game, and 9 games he played. That's your 9-game stretch. Your 9-game stretch with him, they have yet to even figure out how to closely integrate him. They just don't. For instance, very quickly, let's look at his game logs. Then I'll try to get this posted beforehand. Roster. We look at Peterson. I'm not saying he can't do something. I'm saying I wouldn't trust his health at all. If I were NBA scouts, because it's like, oh, I got this mysterious whole body cramp, and then I couldn't even play 25 minutes. Does this make sense to you? I mean, does it really make sense to you? At Houston, 14 points in 28 minutes. Okay? Field goal percentage was 27.3. Versus TCU in a win by only 5, he did have 24 points, but again, it's TCU. And they won only by whatever it was, 5 points. His field goal percentage was only 29.4%. On March 7th versus K-State, yeah, a 19-point win at home. He plays 29 minutes, does have 27 points, and his field goal percentage is great, but it's against an overmatched team at Arizona State in the loss against a team they also should overmatch. He gets 15 points in 35 minutes. His field goal percentage is 16.7%. All right? At Arizona in the loss, he plays 31 minutes, has 24 points, which ain't bad, but his field goal percentage is only 38.1%. And let's see, it's probably free throws. Doesn't have the free throws there. A win at Houston. He had He played 30 minutes, only had 14 points. He's not the savior at all, even when they do have okay wins with him. 35.7% field goal percentage. And again, sometimes it doesn't seem like awful until you figure, well, he's supposed to be one of the best guys, like just a natural player. Cincy, at home, in a loss by 16, he plays 32 minutes, has only 17 points, and a field goal percentage okay, 41.2%. Oklahoma State, at Oklahoma State, wins by 12, does have 23, which is okay. I mean, there's nothing awful with that, and a nice field goal percentage. At Iowa State, in the big loss, he had a whole 10 points on 23 minutes. And he may not have played a lot. He played 23 minutes there. His field goal percentage was 30%. So just not that dude. And they were flirting with, can we get him integrated? And it makes sense. But Bill Self, I don't know. You know, he had the heart problem a few years ago. And it really coincided with how since then he's just not been a good coach. He's just, it's night and day difference. And so they may as well have replaced him as far as the results differences. And instead they give him a whole new contract, which is crazy. So again, TLDL, but you wouldn't have been this far if you had TLDL'd. You could have fast forwarded. KU is overseeded. They shouldn't be a 4. They should be a 6 or a 7. When they've lost, there have been some bad, bad losses, and it just ain't good. And especially those bad losses have been recently. Teams that are going to go on a roll either beat some strong teams consistently or make it close or have very few to no fluke losses to mediocre teams. When instead none of those three occur, you are not going far in the NCAA. Okay, guys, thanks for listening to the Scales of Truth. I'm Tyson Harley.